Welcome to Vital Voices. Today, it's a short course on dulcimer music. Our guest is Roxanne McDaniel. She is a singer and songwriter based in Johnson City, Tennessee. She plays the Appalachian dulcimer, in addition to several other instruments. She is a graduate of the Bluegrass, Old Time, and Country Music Studies program at East Tennessee State University. She performs both as a solo artist as well as with her backing band, the Big Bad Buzz. Roxanne, welcome to Vital Voices.
Thanks for having me here. I'm happy to be here.
We're going to talk today primarily about the dulcimer. I know you play a variety of instruments, from the ukulele to the guitar to the bass to the fiddle, but the primary focus of this program is the dulcimer. Tell me your own personal history with that instrument, when you first learned about it, when you first found out about it, and then later when you first started playing it.
Sure. I'd seen a couple here and there as a child, but I'd never heard or seen them played. And they first really caught my attention about, well, it was 10 years ago. It was 2014, right about this time of year. I came across some dulcimer videos online, and there was one in particular from a player named Wendy Songe playing a tune called King of the Fairies. And I watched that video dozens of times, it must have been, and I just kept thinking to myself, wow, you know, that's a sound that I want to learn how to make. And that was right about the time that I was getting ready to move here to Johnson City to go to the Bluegrass program at ETSU. My first semester, spring 2015, I ordered a little cheapo beginner dulcimer to learn on, and you know, from day one I was hooked. I was like, man, this is a great little box. Got my first, you know, good quality dulcimer later that year, and just sort of obsessed over it. I spent hours a day practicing. I was always attracted to not just the sound, but the limitations of the instrument, because it pushed me to challenge myself and see how much can I do within these parameters.
What are the limitations of a dulcimer?
Well, with most dulcimers, your fretboard is going to be diatonic, which means that it just has the notes of the major scale. With one exception in this one's case, I'll give an example. So typically your dulcimer is tuned to an open D tuning, so if you go all the way up your fretboard, you have the key of D. There are no really wrong notes on this fretboard. This dulcimer has an extra fret that lets you play a few different tunes. So you have a C natural note there, so that my whole fretboard is. Now, if I'm playing a lot of old-time tunes in the key of D, that's enough to get me by. But when you start getting into other keys or playing things that have a few, you know, extra little notes in it, you have to get creative.
What appeals to you about the sound of the dulcimer? I know you are from the Appalachian region. This is such a symbol of Appalachia. You grew up in Claiborne County, Tennessee. What appeals to you in terms of the culture of the dulcimer?
There are a number of things. You know, one of the main things being it is such a symbol of Appalachia and such a wonderful tradition, and I really enjoy being a part of that. Now, alongside with that, it also is a very accessible instrument. It's very easy for someone with limited or even no musical ability to pick up and get the basics of fairly quickly, so I really love that element. Whenever I first got one, you know, I had that immediate bit of success, and it really reeled me in, and I spend a lot of time teaching dulcimer to people of all ages. I've worked with people from, you know, 8 to 80 years old. And it's really nice to put a dulcimer in somebody's lap who doesn't have any experience with it, and sometimes no experience with any instrument, and watch how excited they get whenever they're able to suddenly play a tune, you know. So I really love those two parts of it. Also, just the sound. It has such a unique sound. I love the drones that it has. You know, some years back, I spent a lot of time playing music alone. I didn't really have a lot of friends who are musicians or a lot of people to play with. And with a dulcimer, I could play these melodies and have this drone going underneath it. and it didn't quite sound so lonely. You know, it had a nice sound. It's very quiet, but it still manages to sound full and not really lacking, and even with its quietness.
Explain how you define the word drone musically.
Sure. So since we're in D, we have three string. Well, we have three strings on a dulcimer. We have a low string that's tuned to D, a middle string that's tuned to A, and then a melody string that's tuned to the next D up. Now my dulcimer has double melody strings tuned to the same note, and that's a lot more common, you know, traditionally, but these days you see people moving towards just a simple three-string setup. Now with a drone, I have those two low strings just playing that note the whole time. Sometimes I'll play chords, and we'll change that. But with this, you can go... I have that melody going over the top, but that little low drone doesn't change throughout that. So what you end up with there, you're playing this one instrument, and it sounds like there is a distinct melody and rhythm portion happening at the same time. And the way it's set up makes it very easy to achieve that sort of sound.
And that piece, Boil Them Cabbage Down, is probably a good place to start for a beginning dulcimer player, I'd assume, because you're playing the melody all on one string.
That's right, and it just stays to those first three frets. And there are ways to dress it up, and people sometimes call it the Dulcimer National Anthem. I refer to it as the smoke on the water of the dulcimer world. But it's typically the first tune that people learn, or one of the first tunes. It's in my work, where I do a lot of after school with middle school children, and also at the senior center with older folks, that's usually the first tune I say, you know, here's a dulcimer. Have you ever heard this tune? And they typically say no. And I'm like, well, in 5 minutes, you're going to be able to play it.
Wow. How do you start somebody out? Do you start them out playing chords? You start them out playing notes? How does that work?
I start them out typically just playing notes, whether it's just playing the notes individually on the melody string, because some people find that more comfortable, and then I always encourage them immediately to start doing those big full strums. And where I often teach in groups, I try to make things so that absolute beginners and more seasoned players can play the same pieces of music together. So maybe if I have a raw beginner, I will have them just playing the notes on the melody string or doing the drone like I was doing there. And I may have someone a bit more experienced playing some chords, doing the... having a bit of a fuller sound. And maybe I've got somebody who's more advanced to that, and that's where I'll start saying, oh, there's little extra bits we can put in there, little slides, little jumps to make it go like a... One of my approaches, one of my most common approaches with the dulcimer is to try to achieve that, to let beginners and more experienced players find that common ground and make music together as a group.
Let's talk about the instrument itself for the beginning player.
Yeah.
Where to start?
Well, first I would like to tell people the two kinds of dulcimers to stay away from. Buyer beware on these. There are very few brands of mass-produced dulcimers, and the two that you'll commonly see online are Apple Creek and Roosbeck. I started out on an Apple Creek, and they're fine to get a dulcimer and learn the mechanics of it and learn how to play it, but they're not the kind of instrument that someone's going to want to use long-term. I always dissuade people from that. I recommend secondhand from a maker like, you know, McSpadden or Folkcraft, or the one I've got here on my lap, made by a man in North Carolina named Richard Beard. I've become a real big fan of his dulcimers. I actually found this one secondhand. And if you can't find a secondhand dulcimer that, you know, is in your price range or has the sound or feel that you like, I would recommend actually a cardboard dulcimer over one of those mass-produced wooden ones, because you're going to probably have better playability as terms of the fretboard, It's not going to sound quite the same as a wooden dulcimer, but I've used cardboard dulcimers in my teaching practice for several years now, and I've had people go out and buy their own because they enjoyed them so much. It's my top recommendation for someone who wants to get into the instrument without risking too much or putting too much of an investment in it.
You told me that you are pretty much a self-taught guitarist.
Mm-hmm.
That's true as well for the dulcimer.
Well, I would say that I'm mostly self-taught, you know, but I took a couple years of lessons with a man named Jim Miller.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that would be the thing, you know, each week at school that I would really, really, really be looking forward to. I loved my time at ETSU, but going to dulcimer class was the best. And he taught me a lot about not just the dulcimer, but music theory. And I also find myself trying to imitate things that I hear other instruments doing. I spend a lot of time around fiddle players and banjo players. So I'm picking up these fiddle tunes, and sometimes I'll try to add things in my playing to sort of imitate licks and runs that a banjo player might do. Because my whole thing with the dulcimer is, as much as I love it as it is and the tradition with it, I was always thinking, how far can you take it outside the typical realm of the dulcimer? And you can take it pretty far.
This might be a good time to demonstrate a particular lick or run that a banjo player might perform.
Oh, sure, absolutely. Let's see. There's a tune that I really like called Spotted Pony, and it has a lick in the B part that has a... with a sort of little run of pulls and hammers that sort of give you that sound that maybe a clawhammer banjo might do. In addition to clawhammer banjo, you know, I spend a lot of time around Celtic music, and you get, you know, tenor banjo in that. I've been trying to figure out ways to do triplets on the dulcimer and make them sound convincing, and you have to find workarounds with this instrument since your whole orientation is different on it. I try to imitate what I might hear a tenor banjo player do, like if I was playing a jig. Like there's one I love to play called the Lonesome Jig, and I do little sort of makeshift triplets there, like a...
You are playing this dulcimer in the studio with it on your lap, but mm-hmm. you have a dulcimer that stands upright like a cello.
That's right. I have what they call a bowed dulcimer, and it's, you know, got some similarities. It's typically tuned the same way as a mountain dulcimer, but you play it upright. It's fretted like this. It's sort of like a little fretted cello. In fact, the man who invented it, he's in North Carolina, a man named Kenneth Bloom. And the instrument is sort of a hybrid of a mountain dulcimer and a viol. It takes some getting used to, but it's a fully chromatic instrument, meaning that it has all the notes on the fretboard rather than diatonic like this. And it's a lot of fun because it lets you play fiddle tunes, and you get to actually sound like a fiddle or a cello if you go down on the low end.
Are we in the middle of a dulcimer renaissance?
Sometimes I get that feeling. I certainly hope so. I am seeing a lot of people take an interest in a dulcimer here lately. I see some really great players around my age. One in particular, a friend of mine up in eastern Kentucky, a player named Sarah Kate Morgan. She's a phenomenal dulcimer player. She actually grew up not far from me. She grew up in a community called Sharp's Chapel. And I just keep being amused that she and I are dulcimer players from the same little neck of the woods in Tennessee. And we never even knew about each other until we happened to run into each other at a festival up in Virginia. I'm seeing a lot of people these days take the dulcimer outside its typical realm. Early on, one of my big influences was a guy named Sam Edelston. You know, and he's really known for taking classic rock and metal pieces and adapting them onto the electric dulcimer. I see these different organizations. There's a nonprofit that I work with called Art Transforms, and we do Dulcimer after-school program in here in the Johnson City school system. We do a summer school program where kids receive one of these cardboard kits and build their own. And it seems that over the last, you know, I don't really know how many years, but definitely here in recent history, it seems like there is more and more of an interest in it. I'm seeing festivals pop up. In fact, there's a huge online Dulcimer festival that came about during the pandemic called Quarantune. How about a horn pop? There's one I really like that most people don't play called the Staffordshire horn pop that's really nice on the dulcimer.
That's beautiful. Have you ever thought about how many thousands of tunes are floating around in your head?
Well, I don't know if it's in the thousands.
It has to be.
It's definitely in the hundreds. But, you know, I've spent a lot of time in England over the last decade and picked up a lot of tunes while I was there. Because you hear people playing Scottish and Irish tunes a lot, but you never really hear English music, especially like English fiddle tunes. So I thought, maybe it's time to show those some love and play those on the mountain dulcimer. Something a little different.
If our listeners want to hear more of this wonderful dulcimer music by you, how do they do that?
Well, you can find me on Facebook or Instagram or YouTube. Go on there and search for Roxanne McDaniel Dulcimer, and I'm sure something will pop up. I'm always showing up at places around the area, so you never know where you might run into me.
Roxanne, this has been a joy. Thank you for joining us for Vital Voices.
Thank you.
Our guest has been singer and songwriter Roxanne McDaniel, originally from Claiborne County, Tennessee. For Vital Voices, I'm Fred Sossman.